Okay, well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time once again that we can study your word. We pray, dear Lord, that you will bless this time as we think through things. We pray that the lessons that we are learning from Ecclesiastes will be applicable to us, that we can apply the wisdom, and we pray, dear Lord, that we can live the life that you want us to. So we pray that you, especially with those who are not well, those who are overseas, that, Lord, you will watch over them and keep them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now one of the things about Ecclesiastes is that Solomon is writing about observations of life. And when he makes observation, we have to take those things with... I guess he's struggling with certain things in life, and we want to be able to look at the truth behind it. But there are times where, like we dealt with the last time, sometimes he ends up with subjective reasoning. And subjective reasoning is reasoning from experience, from feelings, from culture, from his upbringing. In that sense, subjective. And sometimes when we have subjective reasoning, it's wrong. Okay? It's not the best way of looking at things. And so today we are going to deal with another issue, which I think is very important. Okay, so now let's turn to Ecclesiastes 7. And so the last time we were talking about how God will straighten what is crooked, or rather, you know, he observed that things, once it's crooked, cannot be crooked. When God make it crooked, it will always remain crooked. And then seeing things from a biblical perspective, the day of prosperity, the day of adversity. Now, in verse 15, we read, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. So once again, we see Solomon's dismal observation of life. So it's a very humanistic, personal standpoint. Okay, so he started with, in chapter 1, vanities of vanities, all is vain, right? So he continued to be affected negatively. Now, he's explaining some truths with a limited comprehension. Okay, so what we are seeing here is that he is explaining truths, he's grappling with certain things, but he doesn't have full comprehension, even though he's considered one of the wisest person in the world, right? And we have to understand this, that from the standpoint of one, that he's grappling, he's looking at life, he's observing, he's making good observations, and yet he is looking at it with limited comprehension. His lens is not fully there. Okay, he's looking through some lens, his own personal lens. There's some truth, and yet there's limited understanding or comprehension. Okay, we want to see it from that. We don't want to say that everything that Solomon writes is bad. Okay, we want to say that there are things that he's writing that's good, and yet he's seeing things from the standpoint of futility, which is not good. Right, and partly the problem is that he has everything that he needs in life. He has all the wealth. He has all the wisdom. And yet he finds that life is almost futile because he has to die. He feels it's a great waste. Right? He sees his own life as vanity. So he has all the wisdom, all the wealth he has accumulated. And yet he has to die. And he cannot pass this on to the next generation. Next generation, if he pass on to one who is foolish, he will lose everything. Right? He cannot pass on the wisdom because some will not learn. So that's why he's grappling with, what's the meaning of life after you have all these things? Okay? Now, so he's deeply affected by his limited understanding. Now, we come to this very, very, very challenging verse. In verse 15, there is a just man who perishes in his righteousness And there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Okay, now, this is what we call the paradox of life. Okay, these are paradoxes of life. Okay, and normally the righteous man will live long. Correct? He was supposed to be blessed by the Lord with long life. However, there are situations where a just man can perish in his righteousness. In other words, he will die early in his life. Okay? This is how inexplicable life can be. Okay, so he's grappling. He's grappling with this idea that, you know, this is how life should be, right? If we live for the Lord, if we live righteously, our life, we should at least live until about 70 or 80 years old. But that's not true. Sometimes in life, a righteous person can die young. And in Bethany, we have seen some of people who die young. Jerry Jung. Do you all remember Jerry Jung? Yeah, so Jerry Jung was, you know, is a person who sought to live her life as best as she could, but she was cut down in a prime of life. I think she was, 22, 23? Second year, uni, and then that's it. Or years ago, there was this young fellow by the name of Su Qiu, and he was 25 years old. And then he went for a run, a half marathon army, and then, you know, he had his heart. So he didn't know that his heart was, there was the hole in the heart or something, and then he died of his heart gave way. And then he passed on. Right? And these things do happen. So it's not wrong. These things do happen. And then on the other hand, you see this wicked fella, he can live so long. Right? Putin is an example. We wouldn't consider Trump. Trump at least is trying to do some good, but but he's also, you know, and there are some people who live until very, very old. Kim Jong-un, right? This dictator in North Korea. And some of them can live so long. They're wicked. They have done so much evil. And yet, they seem like their life is being prolonged. So how do you see this? So he's grappling with this so-called paradoxes of life. Can you see? So the wicked man, he prolongs. And I think the challenge is, okay, how do we... So he's struggling. He's struggling with the promises of God, right? The promises of God states that he will bless us if we live according to it. But sometimes the promises appear to be broken. But God does not break his promises. So the paradoxes of life seem not logical, not reasonable. Okay. How do we see this? And it's very challenging, right? When life happens like that. Have you come across people who are young and then they die very young, even though they seem to be righteous? I mean, as a doctor, Alina, do you see that? Young people dying at a prime of life? No? Yes? Not yet? Not a lot. Not a lot, but yeah. But have you seen a young person die? Yes. Yeah, a child. Okay, a child. I've seen a few children die, even babies recently, right? So these are paradoxes of life. Do you accept it? Do you find that it's unfair? Life is unfair? How do you respond to the paradoxes of life? How would you respond if you know that, okay, life is like that? Okay, you know? You know, be righteous, also, alamak, you know, you end up dying early. If I'm wicked, then I have a chance of living longer. How do you see this? These paradoxes of life. Can you accept it or you find it hard? What do you think? Audrey, what do you think? Huh?
No hard feelings.
No hard feelings. Okay.
It is just what it is.
So you accept it as part of life, lah. Huh? Sure. I'm sure we all can accept these things. These are things that are there. Okay, and anybody else? Anybody, any reaction, respond? Olivia? Any response from you? I mean, as a doctor, or rather studying to be a doctor. No response, just accept it.
And then I wonder if it's just like an observation that like Solomon has made. Because like statistically speaking,
yeah,
like there will also be, there will also be wicked who die young.
Yeah, lah, of course. And, sure.
And then the young who also, as in, sorry, like the righteous who also...
Can live long, lah.
Live long, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like so many in Bethany.
Maybe it's about his perspective in life.
Yeah.
It's more about how he chooses to view life and his perspective on it that is maybe affecting his opinion.
Sure.
I'm not sure, yeah.
Yeah, so he's making... Partly maybe he's seeing this from a standpoint of, you know... people that perhaps he has come across, right? You see, if you find it easy to accept it if it doesn't affect to someone who loves you or a loved one. But when it happens to a loved one, you will find it very hard to sometimes accept it. Right? If it doesn't affect you, then okay, it's just something that we all learn to accept in life. Okay? Now, so for Solomon, what are things that he's doing now, the next stage, is that he's trying to look at alternatives to this. Okay? Now, this is his alternative. So he's offering two alternatives to the paradoxes of life. Okay? In verse 16, do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Okay, what is he saying here? Do not be overly righteous. What is he trying to say? Do not be overly righteous. Since if you are righteous and then you die young, might as well don't be too righteous. Why put in so much effort? Have you ever felt that way? Sometimes you feel that it's not worth being so good. Do you ever feel that sometimes it's not worth it? Why be so righteous? Okay, sure, we don't go and, you know, start selling K-pots and, right? And then, especially with drug-laden vaporizers. Nowadays, what? You get 15 strokes of the cane in extreme cases. So why be so righteous? Why should be so wise? Why work so hard at it? Why put in so much effort? When you will die in the end, you may end up with an early death. Why put in so much effort? You ever felt that way? Why put in so much effort? Right? It takes a lot. Okay, it takes a lot to be wise. You have to study the scriptures. You have to learn. You have to memorize. You have to meditate. You have to practice. Why take so much effort to do it? So, let me ask you. Is this a right reasoning or wrong reasoning? What do you think? Have you ever thought, you know, sometimes you feel, it's really not worth it to be so righteous, to be different from the world, to study the scripture so much. Why? Why be overly righteous? Overly righteous is not in our perspective, right? But it's his own perspective. Why be overly righteous? Sure, be righteous, but don't be overly righteous. Don't be overly wise. Why take so much effort to doing these things? There may be a possibility that you may die young. Right? People can end up, you know, you can get so stressed and overly stressed, health is affected, and people can end up destroying themselves because they are so stressed doing these things. Then on the other hand, don't be overly wicked nor be foolish. Do not be overly wicked nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? Okay, so based on the idea that the wicked seem to live longer, right? Would it be better to not be overly wicked or foolish? So you want to be bad, you want to sin, but don't sin until it becomes a crime. You know, you want to take this vaping thing, but don't put drugs into it. Okay, get fined $500. But at least don't get cane and so on. So don't be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Overly wicked means to be vicious, to be violent, to cruel violence. And of course, some will end up with criminal activities and, you know, things can be very excessive. Okay, and then death can be the verdict of it. So, you know, you want to be bad, but don't be too bad. You want to be wicked, but don't be too wicked. Where you have to pay for your crimes, and then you die early. Now, so how? Should we accept these alternatives? Yes? No? What do you think? Yeah, Chloe.
I feel like verse 16 and 17 is a very, based on his correlation equals causation.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like what Olivia said, like, it's a bit strange that he will make such a declaration based on, like, maybe the minority of sure. what he observes. Okay, I mean, I don't know for him whether it's a minority or majority, but it feels like he's kind of trying to say like that a person has some sort of like control in terms of like what they do, then like how long they live. So yep. It's a very strange, yeah.
Yeah, so that's part of his, so that's what we call a humanistic observation of life. Right? He's making an observation, he's deducing based on that, and he's using his reasoning to conclude. And he's coming up with alternatives based on that. Okay? Whether it's true is another thing. But he's coming up with these alternatives. Don't be overly righteous. You know, in his mind, it's not worth it. Do you see? Yeah, of course, he's making this observation because it's also true that there are people who are righteous who die early. He's also making this observation that there are wicked people who, of course, there should be a big disparity with reference to the righteous who actually live longer. But there are also these observations that he's making. And it's true to some extent. Some righteous people do die when they are young, and then there are some wicked people who can live very long. Right? And he's trying to grapple with these things in life. But then his alternatives, you see the way he reasoned? You see how he's reasoning? Now that is subjective reasoning. Based on what he has. Okay, Matthias, what do you think? Why don't we go into groups, since we're everyone's here, most people here? Then you can go and talk about it, discuss. How do you all see this? Okay, let's go into our groups and then raise up whatever question you want to raise up, and then we can talk about this further. Ken, let's go to our groups and then we can think about this a bit more. Okay. What do you think? Wait, let me get my... Okay, for example, if we were to read Psalm 90, right? If you were to sing Psalm 91, verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he will call upon me. Right? Verse 16. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So one of the things about the Old Testament viewpoint is one of the blessings of life is long life. I mean, same old. Today also the Chinese always long life. Right? What? One sui, one. What is that? What does that mean? A thousand years. Huh? Means what? Means what? One is 10,000 years, 10,000 years. Right? So everybody thinks about long life. Yeah, so it's a very common idea that if you are blessed by God, you will live long. But if you don't live long, then maybe God is judging you or something bad is happening to you. Can you see? So it's a very common idea that one should live long. It's one of those, I mean, even today also, the Chinese people, if you live long, you celebrate 100 years old, your birthday, everybody's happy. It seemed like this person is blessed, lah. But nowadays, Singapore, 100 years old, you got no teeth, you got no memory, you got nothing. What's there to live for, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, so that's what we are talking. What's the biblical idea? How should we see life? Right, so these are observations, these are true observations. It's not wrong in what he's saying. But his alternative reasoning, that's where it's a bit of a problem. And sometimes we can end up with that too. Sometimes we may think, is it worth it or not? Right? We put in so much effort. Of course, we are all Singaporeans, we're all geared towards not discounting Malaysian, but you got PR or not? No, yeah. Are you
still
Yeah. And you know, we're all geared towards excelling, we are geared towards living our life well, right? But here his idea is it's almost like it's a waste of effort if you die early? Right? What if you have to die early? You see, so the possibility, what if you die early? Right? There's a possibility. He's thinking about a possibility. And the moment you start thinking about a possibility, yeah, what a waste of time if I just put in so much effort and then nothing comes out of it. Right? Then if I want to do evil, if I want to get away with something wicked, then don't do something that's really, really bad. I can still get away with it, you know? You see his reasoning is almost, so it's a very humanistic way of looking at the situation, the paradoxes of life. Isn't it? Precisely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I'm going to bring up that later, but yeah, absolutely, he feels that. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 63. He really struggles with it. What's the point? Right? Okay, let's turn to Psalm 73. Right? Surely I cleanse my heart in vain, wash my hands in innocence. All the Lord I plague and chasten every morning. What's the point? If this wicked fellow can live longer, he seemed to, even his death, there seemed to be no violent nothing. So what's the point? Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, do you have a question? You didn't ask your question. What was your question? It's just observation.
I guess the point is that after we die, there's still eternity.
Sure, definitely. Definitely. And of course, that is something that we must focus on rather than just how we see this life.
Is there like a small nuance that maybe sometimes panic, right? Just,
what?
Like, is there a small nuance that maybe is correct in which is don't be like
self-righteous. Don't what? Don't be a holy Joe. Sure. Anyway, holy Joe is not an Old Testament term. Yeah. Well, could be. But I still see this a bit more on the negative side rather than a positive side. Yeah, it's more on the negative side lah. That he seemed like he's trying to find an alternative to this issue and he's trying to say, you know, yeah, don't put in so much effort, man. What's the point? What do you think? Yeah.
I think there are a few ways that the human part comes out. So the first one is the definition of righteousness.
Yeah.
This idea of like overly righteous is, I guess, his definition of what righteousness. The fact that he thinks he can be overly righteous, I feel like it's a human reasoning.
Sure.
Another human way of thinking is like, I guess actually the only benefit of being righteous is to live a long life. That's also very self.
Yep.
You know, centered on man, on self.
Yep.
Not so much what is righteousness. Like why?
So the focus is still very much on self, isn't
self
it?
And man is human.
Yeah.
What can man benefit of the man? So I think I agree with that. Comes out of human.
Sure. And it's, again, a humanistic standpoint, isn't it? It's about himself, it's about humans, it's about long life. But there's so many other things that we can consider, right? Oh, what do you think?
Yeah, I think